He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. This is our text. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I looked at the text for today, and I knew it was Holy Trinity Sunday, and that epistle reading from the book of Acts, I opened up and began to read through it, and it seemed kind of like a no-brainer because Peter was literally preaching a sermon. And it was a good sermon. It was a good Lutheran sermon. In fact, it was laden with cutting, deep cutting law. And then there's that unexpected, joyous response to the gospel. And people believed, repented, and were saved. The law was, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Now wait for it. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Following that harsh bit of law, he comes back with these words. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Lord and Christ means he's your Savior, this Jesus that was crucified. And as I read through that, it made a perfect sermon for a Lutheran pastor. But as I thought about it, I came across a story about a young boy who was watching a television show. And on the show, there was a man that was making vessels sing. And what happened was there was a large table in front of him covered with a white tablecloth. And each glass that was on the table was filled to different levels of water. And the man would dip his finger in water and then reach out and touch the rim of the glass and make it sing, each one at a different pitch. It was actually purely amazing. But the boy was mesmerized. Because this man's hands were going every which way with really no rhyme or reason, but the longer he listened, the more he began to capture what this musician was doing. He was making individual cups sing at different pitches to create a cacophony of music that filled the air. But as the boy watched, he noticed that there was one particular glass that was set way over at the corner of the screen. It looked to him as if it was out of reach of the musician. And this glass was different from all the others, because the boy could tell that it appeared as if it was completely empty. But as the song went along, the man kind of got to the point where he dipped his finger in water and reached all the way out and touched the brim of this glass, and it gave out the most high-pitched, beautiful sound the boy had ever heard, and it fit in beautifully with all the other notes that were being played. And the boy was overwhelmed with wonder. With that illustration in mind, I want you to listen with the ears of a child. Because as you listen to the epistle lesson for this morning, you will be lost in wonder at what God does with empty vessels like you and me. To do that, I want you to look at our text again, but I want you to look out on the very edge of the text, almost completely out of sight, on the edge of the screen. And there you hear the opening words of today's epistle lesson from Acts chapter 2, verses 14a. It's only a partial sentence fragment. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. With these words, we understand that Peter is preaching. That's the wonder that I want you to see today. Peter preaching. Now, you're probably thinking, but Pastor, this isn't very unusual, because isn't Peter, of all the disciples, never for a loss for words? Of all of them, Peter would also have opportunity to open his mouth and many times insert his own foot, but he was never afraid to speak. Take, for example, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And there Jesus was transfigured before their eyes. And there with him was Moses and Elijah. And they were having this holy conversation. James and John are standing there in holy silence, observing the whole things, but not Peter. Peter, never for a loss for words, interrupts the conversation of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And he says, Jesus, I know you're talking, but I got to tell you something. Dude, it is so good to be here. In fact, I'm so happy to be here that I would be willing to construct a tent for you and Moses and Elijah just to prolong this beautiful situation. Matthew would write that Peter did not know what he was saying. Literally, in Scripture, it says Peter did not know what he was saying. But on the holy mountain of Transfiguration, Peter was not at a loss for words. But not only there on the mountaintop, but how about on the Sea of Galilee? Jesus had fed the 5,000, the evening had come. He had sent the disciples away as he dismissed the crowds, and the disciples were to go across the Sea of Galilee while Jesus went on the mountaintop to pray. Evening came, it was dark, and the disciples were already a long way off, being beaten by the waves, and it was dark out, and the waves were rough, and Jesus started walking across the water towards them. Now, the disciples saw it, and they thought he was a ghost, and they all cry out in fear. But Peter, remember the one not for lost for words, he takes up all the courage that he could muster. And he cries out, he says, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat, walked in the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid, and beginning to sing, cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus' words to this man who was never at a loss for words said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, it doesn't matter whether it's on the mountaintop or it's on the rough seas. Peter is not at a loss for words, not even on the night when Jesus was betrayed. Remember, Jesus was telling the disciples that all the disciples, they're going to leave me. They're going to forsake me. And Peter opens up his mouth and says, Lord, even if all these other guys forsake you, I will never leave you. In fact, I would go to prison. I would die with you rather than forsake you. Remember how the story goes? The sun never even came up the next morning, and Peter had already denied knowing Jesus three times. He was asked in the courtyard, surely you're a Galilean. We can tell by the accent you were one of the disciples. Three times he says, I don't know the man. I don't know him. As I thought about Peter, man, you could not find a more empty vessel than Peter. Which makes the epistle lesson beautiful. Because it depicts, I don't want you to see the glass. I don't want you to waste all your time looking at Peter. I want you to look at what the Lord's doing to him. This man who had fallen short of God's glory so many times. This man that should have just woke up in the morning with his foot in his mouth rather than put it in later in the day. God is showing his great mercy to him. And he's literally making an empty vessel sing. That's what I see this morning in our epistle lesson. It's not about Peter. It's all about what Jesus is doing. Jesus, the one who was crucified. Jesus, the one who ascended into heaven. Jesus, the one who sent the Holy Spirit, who now the Holy Spirit's fingers are all over everyone. Read through the books of the Old Testament. And you'll hear the voices of sinful men proclaiming the glories of God and foretelling the coming of the Christ. Look through the Psalms and you hear the sweet voices of the psalmists as they declare the wonders of God's love for us. Sinful men. Sinful like you and me. As you look at the epistle lesson of the day, we see a fisherman, and here a tax collector, proclaiming the glories of God in the presence of those around them. Men that were literally at the very edge of the screen, apparently to be out of reach of the Savior's hand, they are the ones that God is touching. And by His grace, these empty vessels sing. Now I know probably about right now you're a little frustrated with me because I began the sermon by telling you how great a sermon that Peter preached. A great sermon filled with the sweetness of the gospel, followed by that hard law that would convict and drive people to their knees. And then it's like I've kept you all out in the narthex, and you can peer through the children's room to see, but you can't hear the text. But that's right where I want you, because I want you to see who's preaching. I want you to realize exactly what God is doing. That Peter, standing in the midst of them all, lifts up his voice, a voice that was never for a lack of words, and begin to declare the glory of God. Then I began to think about you and me. As we gather in this place, we make our confession of sins, that I'm a poor, miserable sinner, and I confess before you all my sins, O Lord. And you kind of reflect back on the week, and I think to myself, you know, if I'm honest with myself, I fell short of God's glory there, and I should have kept my mouth shut there, and I didn't. And you come in here with that load of sin that weighs you down, and at times it feels like there's no hope at all. It feels as if I am completely and utterly empty. And then I gathered this place, and I began to wonder, can God, through Christ, make an empty vessel like me sing? You know, as I reflect on Scripture, a special Old Testament lesson for the day, we hear about the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah makes a bold confession. He says, I am a man of unclean lips. That's code for I'm a sinner. And I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, and He knew what was to come next. There should be death to follow. But God in His grace and mercy mediates through the seraphim that burning coal from the altar, and it touches His lips and says, this has touched your lips. Your sin has been taken away. This morning as you gather in this place, sinful like Isaiah, sinful like Peter, our Heavenly Father takes a hold of empty vessels like you and me, enables us to sing for joy. Because our sins are forgiven. Regardless of what they have been, by the blood of Jesus Christ, they are all washed away. We are literally a new creation. We are a part of the family of God. And as He touches each of us in individual ways, our voices blend together that make a cacophony of music to the Lord as we say those sweet words, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord.